God is good. Amen. I got to thinking as they were singing, the same crowd that would tell you church isn't good, Jesus isn't good, God isn't good, Bible isn't good, they're the same crowd that says evil's good and doing wrong is good and it's all messed up. I want you to know God, He is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to look at three different scriptures this evening, just a few verses at each location. So if you want to go ahead and begin to mark places here, Luke chapter 24, Luke chapter 24, Acts chapter 2, and Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I want to say two things as you're turning. First of all, I appreciate it, just from the U section across the building this morning, I so appreciated the attentiveness of God's people reaching out with their hearts to hear what the word of the Lord said. I really appreciate that. And the second thing is, and I'm not downloading names very good right now. Maybe it'll come to me as I get into this, but at the beginning of prayer time in the prayer room this evening, Sister Pam Moore came in there, and great granddaughter Carly. Is that right? You got the name right? And how old is she? Help me, Tina. She's 4. Well, Sister Moore sat down on the pew and began to pray, and I looked over, and Carly shut her eyes, and she began to pray. And then great uncle Tracy came in, and this is a name that's slipping me right now. Braden, I should have just said it. Braden, he came in, knelt down beside him, and he shut his eyes. And I thought, look what's happening here. I mean, first of all, and that's another story, but they don't have this type of parental influence in their life. And yet here are family members bringing them to church. And just to watch those young children model what their kinfolks were doing, what a powerful thing is that. And it goes way beyond that prayer room. It goes into the worship service. Amen. We model for the children worship and attentiveness and reverence and respect. And that's a powerful thing in their lives. It'll make an extreme difference. It surely will. All right. Could you stand for the reading of God's word this evening? Luke 24, verse 49, some of Jesus' parting words to his disciples. He said, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued, clothed with power from on high." I rarely have you do this, but would you repeat with me that last part, beginning with power? Could we do that? Power from on high. Let's do it again. Power from on high. Acts chapter 2, we read this for another purpose this morning, verse 15. Peter's given an explanation of what's going on there on this day of Pentecost, and he says, For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that. They could tell something had a hold of these people. They made the wrong assumption that it was the influence of intoxication. But the point is, they could tell there was something beyond these folks that had a hold of them. And Peter said, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, no discrimination. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams." Amen. There was a time at special meetings I preached from this passage. Did you notice the age group that is pointedly singled out? How many notice that? Your sons and your daughters, your young men. I used to preach a message. It's your promise. It can be your Pentecost. Hallelujah. Every generation. But I'm at the point now, I preach it as a young man, but I'm at the point now, I can still say it's my promise because I can still fit myself in over there on that old man part. Amen. It's for every age, in other words. Amen. They shall prophesy. Then in the epistle, Paul writing to the Ephesians, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Would anyone doubt an application to our time, the validity of those words? The days are evil. And remember, anything said after this is in light of that. The days are evil. Wherefore, in other words, because the days are evil, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but be understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine. These are not drunk, as ye suppose, Peter said. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Jesus said, the promise is power from on high. Peter said, this which has influenced these folks is the outpouring of the Spirit in the last days. Paul said, because the days are evil, be filled with the Spirit. I want to preach tonight on power for the pressure. Power for the pressure. You can be seated tonight. Power for the pressure. This week I was having a conversation with one of our young mothers, with a sister with small children. And this young mother and I were talking about how bad things are getting in our world. You'd have to be an ostrich with your head in the sand, figuratively speaking, not to know that things are getting very bad. And in this conversation, this mother said, she said, you know, one of my greatest concerns, and I'm paraphrasing now, what bothers me the most about how bad things are getting is that if it comes to the day when they threaten to do something to my children, if I don't give up serving Jesus, I fear that day. I understand as a parent, I understand that fear and that concern. It's one thing for them to come against you. It's another thing for them to come against your children. And what if it came to the point that if I did not recant my faith in Christ, give it up, that they would do something horrible to my children? And just because, you know, I'm pastor, I thought I had to say something. And the first thing that came out of my mouth was, that's a horrible thought. And it is. It's not an unrealistic thought, but it's a horrible thought. And I said, that's a horrible thought, but we must remember that Jesus promised the Spirit for times like that. He said the Spirit would come to our assistance at times like that. And I was referring to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10. He said, but when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. Look at this next verse. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in, literally speaketh through you. Jesus said the time's going to come when they're going to put the pressure of persecution upon you. It's going to be a horrible time. It's going to be a painful time. But he said, in the midst of it all, I want you to understand, when they apply the pressure, my Spirit, the Spirit of my Father, is going to fill you and give you the wherewith to speak and to stand, to say what you ought to say, to stand how you ought to stand. Oh, hallelujah. Those are Jesus' words. In that occasion, the Spirit will be there to assist. Amen. And so I would like to say from that conversation, that is true. When that time comes, comes that we meet the Spirit, amen, he will be there. But not only will a time come when we need the Holy Spirit, but I believe the time is already here when we need the Holy Spirit. Amen. We need him today. We need him in this hour. We need his enablement. We need his empowerment. We need his assistance, not just in climatic times that I painted the picture of. We need the Holy Spirit in everyday life and everyday living, from the home to the school to the workplace, from a Monday to a Tuesday to a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We need something more than our own ability, our own way of thinking, our own strength, our own wisdom. We need supernatural, divine enablement and empowerment. Oh, hallelujah. And I'm so glad it's not something just to dream about, but it's something that he has promised to ever born again, blood-washed believer. You are a candidate for the recipient, to be a recipient of the power of the Spirit in your life. It's ironic to me, in a time when we most desperately need the Pentecostal experience. By Pentecostal experience, I'm not just talking about some traditions we get hanged up on. When I speak of the Pentecostal experience, I'm talking simply about the active moving of the Holy Spirit. Not something of the past, not just something we read about in Scripture, but the Pentecostal experience is the active moving of the Holy Ghost. And I think it's ironic, in a time we need the Pentecostal experience the most, people are turning from it, denying it, moving away from it. If there's ever a time we need a Pentecostal experience, if there's ever the time we needed the influence and the moving of the Holy Spirit, it's the days in which we live. Amen. I've already read it to you, but in Peter's sermon in verse 17, he said, "It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my..." Oh, no, I deal with language. I deal with words. And so I think about him. I'm so glad he didn't say, "I will drizzle out. I will sprinkle out." What did he say? "I will pour out." Oh, hallelujah. I don't like cliches for the sake of cliches. They just become tried. But we used to know what it meant in a Pentecostal church when somebody said, "Last night in service, I got under the spout where the glory came out." He will pour out the Holy Spirit. Listen to what it says. "In the last days, in the last days, I will pour out of my Spirit, and your sons and your daughters..." When does it come? When does he pour out the Spirit? In the last days. Now, I kind of tricked you, because when you look at this scripture, the message isn't simply the last days are when the Holy Spirit is poured out. The real message here is the last days are why the Holy Spirit is poured out. "In the last days, I will pour out my Spirit." And we immediately say, well, he's just telling us when. No, he's telling us why the Holy Spirit is poured out. It's because it's the last days. It's the last days. And what we need in these last days is the power of the Holy Spirit. He also notes here, it'll be upon your sons and your daughters. You know, I have to understand this. Amen. We all must. It's not that, hey, you know, it'd be a really neat thing to see the Spirit poured out on these young people, and all of a sudden one jumped up and started to prophesy. That'd be neat. It would be, but I mean, we got to get beyond that. Oh, it would be really neat if the Holy Spirit just came down and one of these young children on the front pew stood up and said, I've just got to say something. And they had a word from the Lord. And it would be neat. But it's not just that it would be neat if that would happen. It's the fact that our sons and our daughters must have that happen. They must have the Spirit come upon them that they may prophesy. And that's just an illustration of one thing the Spirit does. What it really means, when the Spirit falls upon young folks, they will be empowered to do whatever, amen, God would have them do. That could be the power to live above sin. It's a power to be a witness at a public school. And make no mistake about it, amen, I'm standing here, I know what it is. As someone that was shy and backwards, I knew what it was when the Holy Spirit came upon me and right in the middle of class or before class started to begin to feel the Spirit moving and begin to talk about the coming of Jesus to those folks and those kids that knew very little about that or God. Amen. It's a real experience. It's not just neat that it happens. It's of a necessity that it happens. Amen. That the Spirit, amen, just to put it simply, we must have a supernatural power. That's what the Holy Spirit is. It's a supernatural power. Amen. We're so limited in our natural ability. Amen. But oh, I'm so glad to tell you, there's a supernatural power of the Holy Ghost to enable us. And by the way, I'm not trying to be spooky, but I want you to know all that mess that's going on out there, that's not all natural. There's another supernatural power motivating, moving that, behind that. I'm telling you, the natural person can never withstand that supernatural evil that's at work in our, but I'm telling you, there is a Holy Spirit. I said there is a Holy Spirit. There is a supernatural enablement. We can stand in the power of His might. It is the evil day. It is the last day. But finally, my brethren, stand strong in the Lord and in the power. What is the strength of the Lord? What is the power of His might? It's the Holy Spirit at work in us. Hallelujah. Oh, God, feel us fresh. You see, one, He can make a fuss and He can contend that He doesn't live in the last days and therefore does not need the Holy Spirit. Someone can make that argument. But one cannot concede that he lives in the last days and at the same time insist that he doesn't need the Holy Spirit. You can't do that. If you concede that we live in the last days, if you can concede in the words of Paul we read tonight that we live in evil days, then there's only one conclusion. I must have the Holy Spirit's power from on high in my heart. Amen. I've entitled this message, and I'm actually about through preaching it, but I've entitled it Power from Above. Amen. Or Power for the Pressure. You see, we need the power from above because of the pressure all around us. That's why we need the power from above. I've used it as an illustration before, but I read back up on it in some online encyclopedia again today. But it's marvelous, some of those creatures that live in the very depths of the ocean. You don't have to get down too far. Right now, as you're in this building, the atmosphere pressure is very minimal per square inch. But every 33 feet you go, amen, it increases monumental, exponentially, the pressure as you go deeper into the ocean. Amen. You know that. You know that's why folks can't dive very deep. And if we even with special equipment, they can only go down so far because the pressure is so great. Some of those creatures that live really deep, they can do that because they're really weird. I mean, they're designed weird. They look weird. But there are fish that look normal. And the reason that they can live in those depths is because God has designed them with a special swim bladder. And the deeper they go, the more pressure builds yields in that swim bladder. And what is happening when the pressure increases on the outside, on the exterior, inside that fish, on the interior, there is an equalizing increase of internal pressure. Hallelujah. It goes deeper. There's more that comes into that swim bladder. The swim bladder is filled even further. Amen. With even more. And I want to tell you, amen, we may not be like to be likened to a fish, but I begin to think that's exactly what we need. I'm telling you, the pressure all around us is almost unimaginable. We've got young people, Christian young people, good young people that go to a public school. They live in a wicked neighborhood. We got folks that go to work, and every day at work, the pressure is almost unimaginable of all kinds of wickedness and evil powers. And not only is it unbelievable, but it's building. How many can sense that? You'll just be honest. In your environment, you sense a building of the pressure of this world. And make no mistake about it, Satan would love for folks to cave in under that pressure, to give up under that pressure, to succumb to that pressure. And could I insert right here, Paul said, be not conformed to this world. And that literally means don't let the world pressure you into its mold. Don't be conformed to this world, but be it transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. What happens? The pressures increase. But if we will let him on the inside, the Holy Spirit will begin to fill us. And with every increase of the pressure from the outside, there will be an increase of the moving of the power from on high within our hearts. Hallelujah. I think often of our young people praying daily. Sometimes we can be quick to judge young folks, but there's so much at work upon young people today. I'm not making a case for not serving Christ. I'm saying, yes, there is a horrible pressure, but thankfully, young people, you don't have to cave. You don't have to yield. You don't have to give up. You don't have to be discouraged. You don't have to concede, because there is a power of the Holy Spirit, a power from on high that can fill you until you can withstand the pressure and be victorious in Jesus Christ. Amen. This is my burden. I've been praying desperately, not because they're in worse shape than the rest of us, but because I know what you're facing. At least I can surmise. I know how bad it was when I went to public school. I'm not down in public schools. I'm talking about our world. And I want you to know, I know how bad it was then. I can't imagine what it's like now. But I've been praying desperately, oh God, let them experience for themselves the inrushing of the power from on high. Oh, hallelujah. How many knows this is real? I said, it's real. I'm talking about something far beyond emotion. I'm talking about the person of the triune God, the Holy Spirit, who will fill us. Jesus didn't tell the disciples to tarry in Jerusalem for the power of the Holy Spirit so that when they worshiped, they could feel goosebumps. That may happen. I heard someone talking. That's great. But he didn't say tarry for the power so you can have goosebumps when you worship. So you could have that exceeding joy when you get together and sing. No, he told them to tarry for the Holy Spirit at Jerusalem because he knew the times that they lived in would demand that they desperately need his Spirit. Amen. He knew they would need the Holy Spirit to live a victorious life in their times. You know, all through Scripture, the theme isn't that we simply survive our times. The theme is that we do two things. We be victorious over our times, number one. And number two, we be a witness of the power of Jesus to save in our times. Hallelujah. Holding forth the word of life in a dark world. The Spirit enables that. Jesus said, tarry for the Holy Spirit so you can be victorious in life and fulfill the task of spreading the gospel. Amen. I love Pentecostal worship. I believe the Holy Spirit, He gets involved in our worship. He gets involved in our singing. He gets involved in our praying and our praising. I think that is great. But listen, we must not regulate the moving of the Holy Spirit to a worship service. We must not regulate His assistance simply to preaching, singing, or testifying in church. We must not regulate His moving simply to an emotional experience, the inciting of our emotions. No, we must realize the Holy Spirit has come that He might move in all of our lives every day and in every way. Oh, you can get up in the morning and feel the Spirit of God at work in your life. He can be with you when you walk the halls of school, when you're in the break room at work. He can be with you in the car when you're traveling. Hallelujah. There'd be less road rage if folks would just get full of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Wouldn't that be great? Amen. Do something a little wrong in driving. Instead of looking over and they're cussing you, they're praying for you with blessing your name. Amen. Blessing you with the blessings of God. Amen. We need Him in everyday life. It's not this. And I hope you don't take the message as this tonight. I hope you don't hear this message in this way. I hope you don't hear me saying, listen, we have to have the power of the Spirit. We have to seek the Spirit. We have to get the Spirit. It's not a matter of that we have to. And I've only used those words to emphasize the necessity. It's not that we have to have the Spirit. It's praise God. He has promised us the Spirit. Amen. It is available. It's not that we have to have it, but it's that He has poured it out upon all that are thirsty and hungry for His ability and His assistance. Amen. I do not denigrate psychologists and psychiatrists. And this is just an example of one area. But when I think of people's problems today, many of them are spiritual. They go beyond the mind. They go beyond the brain. And if a problem is spiritual, no amount of therapy or counsel or drugs can touch that. When a person is being attacked by evil spirits, there's no drug that's going to help that. Medical, psychologists, any of that, no philosophy, no educational thing will help that. If the problem is spiritual, there's only one thing that can help, and that's something else that's spiritual. And when people are under the attack of the enemy of our souls, that's a spiritual attack, and there's only one answer to that. If you got spiritual problem, there's only one answer, and that's the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm telling you, you can be more than victorious. Amen. I'm going to try to bring this to a close, but I know we can get caught up in a debate and an argument and a discussion about the Holy Spirit, especially in light of other brothers and sisters, Christians, who are not of the Pentecostal persuasion. We can get, even in our own midst, we can get in a discussion of when does the Spirit come and how does the Spirit come and what's this about the baptism of the Spirit. And we can begin to talk about all these things and get involved in a debate about them. But I'm going to tell you, that's not the point. Just to simply debate the finer points about when He comes and how He comes. The point is that we just get Him. That we just have Him. We've got to have Him. We've got to have His working in our lives. Amen. I thought of years and years ago at the beginning of my ministry. I heard a non-Pentecostal preacher preaching to a seminar of preachers of every kinds of denominations. He knew they had differences of opinions about all this. And remember, he was not a Pentecostal preacher himself. But when he began to talk about how desperately our world is lost. He began to preach that if we reach those folks, if we have the help that we need, that we're going to need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. It was a powerful message, but I'll never forget what he said, knowing that there were people from Pentecost to non-Pentecost, different denominations. He said, call it what you want to call it. Call it the anointing. Call it the baptism. Call it the infilling. He said, go ahead and call it whatever you want to call it. He said, the point is, just get it. Just get it. Now, I know, and you know from hearing me teach and preach, I believe doctrine is important. I believe we need to know some things and define some things and get some things right. But my point is, what difference does it do if we've just described it and written down the doctrine if we haven't experienced it? Oh, hallelujah. It's not time for another theological debate. It's not time for another in-depth discussion. It's just time to remember that Jesus said, I will give you the promise of my Father. I will send the power from on high. I will give you the Holy Spirit. And for something in our hearts to say, oh God, fill me with the power of your Spirit. Enable me with your Spirit. I believe he'll respond to that. He is called the Holy Spirit. And whatever else is in his name, his name describes two things that we need most. The holy is in a reference to purity. Holy means separate, undefiled. Amen. And could I say, one of the greatest needs in our lives, in our time, is for purity. I want you to know, real purity is more than you just wrestling with your flesh and say, I'm not going to do a certain thing. Real purity is God at work in your life. Hallelujah. You know, I keep hearing all service, one of the Beatitudes, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We've relegated that just to, if you're pure in heart, one day you'll make it to heaven and see God. Amen. I don't think that's what Jesus was saying. I think it means right here, right now, if we're pure in heart, we'll see God. Amen. Holy. But he's not just holy. He's spirit. Pneumatos. Amen. The word we use for pneumatic guns. Guns and tools that are powered by air. They're all the same in the original. Breath and wind and spirit are all the same word. Pneumatos. Amen. He is holy purity. He is pneumatos. That's a reference to power. Would you agree with me that those are two things we need most in our life? We need purity and we need power. Oh, would you personalize it? Would you just say to God in yourself, Lord, I need purity and I need power. Oh, hallelujah. How many's getting a grip on this tonight? I'm not saying you didn't already have it, but I'm being, as far as the message is concerned, God, I need your help in the way I think. I need your help in the way I feel. I need your help in the way I choose. I need your help. Amen. I need purity. I need power. I want my thoughts to be pure. I want my desires to be pure. I want to be cleansed from the filthiness of the flesh and of the mind. I want purity. Oh, God, I want power. I want power to stand up for you. I want power to stand up for righteousness. I want power to stand up in the face of Satan. I want power to stand against a tempting world and get a power to overcome the temptation. Amen. Hallelujah. I know, and you know, that my mind often works weirdly, but this whole message, some poem from way back in literature kept trying to come to me. And at first I thought it was Shakespeare, but when I looked it up, it was Elizabeth Barrett Browning. And in one of her sonnets, I'm not going to get into that. That's not the message. I'm going to tell you what just kept coming to me. One of those sonnets begins with the line, how do I love thee? How do I love thee? What? Let me count the ways. Amen. I want to ask a question tonight. How do I need the Holy Spirit? Let me count the ways. Oh, in so many ways. Oh, if I went through the scripture, it would be an exhaustive list. Let me just give you a sampling. How do I need the Holy Spirit, and why do I need him? To lead me into all truth. Oh, I don't want to be deceived. I heard somebody say it the other day, I don't want to be deceived. Amen. You see, the problem with being deceived, you don't recognize it when it's happening. It's no good simply to say, I'm not being deceived. Because if you're being deceived, you don't recognize it when it's happening. Oh, hallelujah. How many's ever seen somebody so deceived, so messed up? Amen. You know, we need to bring it down to ourselves. There should be something in our heart that cries, Lord, I don't want to be deceived. I want to tell you how I can keep from being deceived. Have the Holy Spirit, because He'll never lead me wrong. He'll never lead me wrong. Don't make decisions, especially about your beliefs. Don't make those decisions under the influence of ungodly teaching, ungodly literature, ungodly peer pressure. Amen. Make those kind of decisions when the Holy Ghost has filled your life and empowered you. I need Him to lead me into all. I need Him to help me live pleasing to God and bring glory to Him. Amen. Some folks think because they do certain things and have certain standards, amen, and I'm not disrespecting any of that. But what I want to say is the real purity, the real heart to please God, isn't just the product of if I've disciplined myself and got myself by the nape of the neck. That's not the real. The real purity, the real pleasing of God is when I allow His Spirit to move in my life and I'm living in a place where I simply am saying, yes, Lord, yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'll do it. I'll be it. I'll say it. How do I need the Holy Spirit and why? To make Jesus real. To make Jesus real. Have you been there in a service? Everything about the Bible, everything that's spiritual begin to seem so unreal under the pressures that you're under in the world you live in. It all seems so unreal. But suddenly the Holy Spirit begins to move. We might have sung the old rugged cross 1,000 times, but the Holy Ghost is moving, and all of a sudden it's clear, it's real, it's vivid. Jesus is amongst us. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is my Savior. He really did rise from the dead. He really did pour out the Holy. He really is. I'm telling you, I need the Holy Spirit, because it is He that makes Jesus real. Not only does He make Jesus real, oh, He brings Jesus near. Hallelujah. When the Holy Ghost is moving, it goes way beyond emotion. The Holy Spirit brings Jesus near. What I need the Holy Spirit to give me an understanding of the Word and how it applies to my life. I've studied this book all my life. Amen. I've had years of higher education. But I want to tell you, that does not mean that I'm going to understand what this book says. Amen. I need the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. And for the Holy Spirit to say, now this is what I really was trying to get across here. But it goes beyond understanding. The Holy Spirit not only enables my understanding, but the Holy Spirit shows me how to apply it to my life. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You see, the Holy Spirit doesn't just want to move through a message so we can leave and say, you know, that was a good sermon. Or that was a no. When the Holy Ghost really moves, we leave saying, here's what I need to do. Here's what I need to change. Here's what's going to be different in my. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He applies it. I need the Holy Spirit to sanctify me and help me live above sin. Hallelujah. 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 Someone's trying to come to me. One of the songs, the power. They had the power they had at Pentecost. And one of the verses says, victory over sin and purity within. That's why I need the power from on high. Victory over sin and purity within. I'm so tired of seeing folks that know Jesus and know the ways of God succumbing to the pressures and the temptation of our world and becoming filthy like the world in practices. And I'm telling you, we don't have to. There is a power of the Holy Spirit that gives us victory over sin and purity within. It's the power they had at Pentecost. We come together. We need the Holy Spirit. Here in a few moments, we'll separate our individual ways. We need the Holy Spirit. At some point this week, we're going to be alone with the thoughts of our mind and the temptations of our heart. When we're alone, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Many of us will spend our week in a hostile environment. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Music would you come? Never has there been a time when people are so full of themselves and they're encouraged to be full of themselves. I was listening to religious internet radio this morning, and it was a car dealership in Dayton, and part of their pitch was, come down, you'll get a good deal, you deserve that car. And no kidding, here's the ending appeal: it's all about you. That's our world. We're encouraged to be full of ourselves. Amen. We need not judge anybody else. But the proverb says the backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways. It's what I think, what I want, all of that. Amen. Where is that getting folks to be full of themselves? Amen. Instead of being led by the promptings of the Holy Spirit, they are led by the impulses of their base nature, their self-obsessions, instead of being led of the Holy Spirit, they are led by their own feelings, own emotions. Listen, and I'm including myself, but I have great advice. If you want victory, if you want to live above sin, if you want the light of Jesus, if you want to be ready when Jesus comes, empty yourself of yourself in the presence of God. And I'll promise us one thing: if we empty ourselves of ourselves, oh hallelujah, I've just got to stop here. Amen. If we were honest, we would realize that much of our discontent, much of our problem is that in the areas we're caught up in ourselves. How many just be honest and say, I realize that much of my problems, oh, but I've got great news. If in the presence of God we'd empty ourselves of ourselves, we have his promise that when we're empty of self, he will fill us with his Spirit. Oh, that'll make a difference. I said that'll make a difference. As I was praying over this message, I found myself praying this prayer: God, I have to have your power in real time. I have to have your power in real time. I like to hear it about it in church. I like to sing about it. I like to preach about it. But oh God, I need your power in real time. Amen. I said, amen. When the heat is on, the temptation has come, the ridicule is being given. Amen. I need your power in real time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I just want to share this. Maybe I should or shouldn't. I just want to share this as I close. I could not prepare this message. Neither could I preach this message without thinking of Sister Brock. Because I know for a certainty, the whole time I was preaching tonight, she would have been responding to this kind of message. And I know because she's done it many times. After church, she had met me and she'd say, you preached what we needed. But I want to tell you something. Sister Brock didn't just respond to the Holy Spirit at church. Day after day, she got alone with her Bible and prayed till the Spirit moved upon her. She'd be out and she'd witness to folks. When prompted by the Holy Spirit, they'd come to know Christ. Amen. How many feels a need in your heart? I got to have divine empowerment. How many knows we need power from above for the pressure that's around us? Not time for discussion. It's just time to say, oh God, oh, I need it. You know what Jesus said? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that what? Ask. How many like just to add? Now remember, we're not going to get in this theological debate. How and when. That'll all be sorted out as you seek the Lord and search the book. But the basic thing is an admission, a personal admission that I need divine help in my life. Amen. Could you stand across the building? Hallelujah. One of the things the Holy Spirit does is when a person is lost, without Christ, without hope, without peace. Maybe knowing very little about the Word of God. One of the things the Holy Spirit begins to do, He begins to tug on that person's heart. You may be unaccustomed to that, but that's the Holy Spirit at work, making known to you the love of God, that He's done everything possible to save you. He sent His Son to die, shed His blood, so you could have eternal life. Another thing the Holy Spirit does is He gives us the ability to repent. A person just doesn't all of a sudden say, I was wrong, I've lived wrong, I've done wrong, I'm a scoundrel. A person doesn't just automatically of themselves do that. But I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will begin to move, and a person will begin to think, I'm sorry. I was wrong. God, forgive me. The Holy Spirit gives the ability to ask for forgiveness and repent. You see what the Spirit does? He draws every unsaved person. He draws them to Jesus. And if you're here and you've never surrendered your life, we could put it in all different terms. But one way to put it to be saved is to surrender yourself to God as Creator and Redeemer and Savior. If you've not done that, you may be feeling that tugging tonight. I want to tell you, say yes to it. That's the Holy Spirit leading you to a salvation knowledge and experience of Jesus Christ. So I open the altar, yes to that, but to all of us. You just like to come with an admission. I need divine, supernatural help and assistance and strength and empowerment in my life. If you can come and pray that prayer, would you come? And if you don't know Jesus, come with the church as they come, and folks will pray with you. They really will. Amen. The Holy Spirit will continue to lead. Amen. Would you come and fill this altar? Hallelujah. Amen. Believe Him. It's the promise. It's the promise of the Father. And Jesus has poured it out. Ask Him personally. Right now, don't even concern yourself about your neighbor. Just say, Lord, I need Your Holy Spirit. There may be a time you'll begin to pray with your neighbor tonight, but right now, just say, Spirit of God, I need divine help. I need divine assistance. I need divine strength. Hallelujah. I need Your Spirit. Come on, let's pray. Let's seek Him. I need divine help. I can't do it on my own. Come on, church, let's call out to Him. I need You, Jesus. Come on, church, call out to Him. I need the Holy Spirit. I need something bigger than I am to fill me. Just be honest. I got to have help. I can't overcome. I can't be victorious. Hallelujah. Oh, that's it. That's it. Call out to Him. I need You, Lord. Empty and bare. I've emptied myself out. Fill me, Lord.